Grace, mercy, and peace be with you now and always in Jesus Christ. Sometimes things seem so hopeless, but here is an account of how a simple action brought great results. Naaman had leprosy and somehow was able to keep his job as the general of the army of the country of Syria. This was one of Israel's rivals in the middle of the Old Testament time. Now, surely you've heard about the unusual effects of leprosy, that skin disease. And today, a form of it is called Hansen's disease. That doesn't have anything to refer with the people in the back of the church who are the Hansen family here. But there is a disease named Hansen's disease. Now, it's apparent that everything that's called leprosy in the Bible just wasn't this modern-day disease, because this one today is treatable. Of course, that one wasn't in the Old Testament. People were afraid it was communicable and they could get it, so they kept people apart. And also, there's times in the Old Testament it talks about the walls of a house might have leprosy and clothing might have it, and certainly that's not Hansen's disease today. So what I'm saying is that a lot of skin ailments in the Old Testament were called leprosy. But maybe that's why it was so feared, because you never knew who it was going to attack, and of course, whether you could catch it from being near someone. So I think it's rather amazing that this man, Naaman, who has leprosy, holds his job as the general of the army of Syria. Now, Naaman hears that there is a prophet down in Israel. And poor king of Israel, because he gets this note from Naaman's boss, the king of Syria, and the king of Israel doesn't know what to do. He says, "I'm sending my servant to you, and I want you to heal him." Well, what is he supposed to do? He's got this king of a rival, more powerful country saying, "Heal my servant," and he thinks it's a trick. Give him an impossible job to do, and then if he doesn't do it, you've got reason to invade and take away his country and put him in prison. But no one can cure this disease. Surely it's an excuse for an invasion. So what am I going to do, says the king of Israel. Well, we know that there's one thing he could do, one thing that we often forget to do, and that's turn to God in times of trouble, in times of perplexity, in times when you don't have control over a situation. You do everything you can, but finally you turn to God and you ask him to help you. Now, it seems that Naaman would pay anything to get rid of this disease. You know, what good is lots of wealth and a powerful position if you don't have the health to enjoy it and to live on? And then again, with God, all things are possible. We often forget that, don't we? I forgot that one time. I knew a woman in when I was just a young pastor, and this woman had pancreatic cancer. You know how dangerous that is? Patrick Swayze has it now, and people are worried that he might not survive. We didn't think this lady was going to live either. She was all yellow in her face, even the whites of her eyes. Now, this lady was in her 80s. And so when she told me that she was going to have surgery, I thought to myself, well, this is going to be really hard for her. And in my mind, I was preparing for her funeral. But she had her surgery, and she came back. And after her recovery, she was well again. I didn't expect that. And so we never know what God is going to do. Sometimes small actions, like prayer, with God's help, bring great results. So Naaman has heard about the prophet Elisha, and Naaman, when he comes to see him, expects some major events to take place. And this is where Naaman gets disappointed, because God often works through simple means and not what we expect, some great show of power. First of all, Naaman expects, when he gets there, because of his high position as general of a superior power, at least he's going to be received with some cordiality. But the prophet Elisha doesn't even come outside his house. He just sends a message through his butler. Second of all, Naaman expects to be impressed, to impress others with his wealth. He brings along all this gold and silver and 10 sets of expensive clothing. Surely, the prophet will be impressed with such a display of wealth. But prophet Elisha could scarcely care less about these gifts and refuses every one of them. And then Naaman says that he expects some kind of magical incantation, and maybe he would come outside and wave his hand over the affected part of his flesh to show the power that he possesses. But nothing is done. Naaman is not even approached by the prophet at all. And to crown it all, his prescription is merely words. He says, go down and wash in the river Jordan. Do it 7 times and you'll be clean. Well, this is just too much for General Naaman. And he says, I'm not going to put up with this. And he's angry. What kind of a cure is this? Surely this is some kind of quack prophet. Don't we have better rivers back home where we come from up in Syria than this little cattle stream, the Jordan? But that is the power of God. Merely words. Not magical words, but divine words. The words that come from God's own lips. Through the prophet, of course. God hides his power often in small things, like washing with water. You know, this teaching, this account of the Old Testament isn't a narrative of New Testament baptism. We would recognize that. But there is one similarity there beyond just washing and making someone clean. And that is the simple thing. The simple act of something like putting water on someone, which brings great results. This is what God has done for all Christians through the simple act of putting a little water on someone and washing them. Great things happen to us. I don't think we think about that and the power of baptism. Not as magic, but as simply the promise of God that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Small things like trusting in this old book that we have, this Holy Scripture, can bring great things. Small things like prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Naaman is cleansed. And after this account that we have printed for us today, if you read the text out of the Bible, 2 Kings, you find a great confession. Naaman, before everyone, says, Now I know that I am healed. I know that there is no God besides the God of Israel. And he says, never again will I worship any of the false gods that I was taught when I was brought up, but I will worship only the true God of Israel. He did ask for an exception. He said, when I'm standing with my king, and he bows down towards the altar of Rimmon, and he's holding onto my arm, may God excuse me if I bow with my king to steady him, but I will not worship another God. Our sin is that we often look to worldly things like Naaman did for meaning. That we look to the world and we see things that other people have and things that are offered, and we think, if I only work hard enough and get that, that'll make me content. That'll make me happy. That'll give me a purpose. It'll show who I am and what I am for. But I think the older we get in life, the more we realize how empty this promise is. Oh, the things around us are good, the things that we value, but they do not really give us a lasting purpose. They do not give us a sense of who we are. Only our God does that. He gives us a sense of our value, our purpose, when he stretches out his hands and he's nailed to a cross of wood. He does it for us. we have that much value with God. That is where our purpose comes from. God sacrifices himself so that we might live. This is love. This is purpose. And all the while, even when we're distracted by gaining the things of the world and our notoriety and our empty purpose, God is there in the simple things. Sometimes, like Naaman, we might realize that perhaps that is why we are having difficulty. Maybe that's why we've contracted an illness or been injured or lost our job or suffered whatever trials we might. Maybe there is a little bit of meaning in it if we see that it turns us from empty pursuits to see God and to see the simple things. That everyone who recognizes this is forgiven. And they now have been changed. They, rather than fight against what God puts down in their life, they want to follow God and seek his guidance for whatever life he has given. So we look not only to big signs and miracles. Sometimes people are healed miraculously, or other times healed by a doctor's skills or prescription. But in all things, we listen for the quiet voice of Jesus, who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. I will give you healing, not for just a time, for a year or 5 years or 50 years. I will give you an eternal healing through my forgiveness, through my love, and through a new life in a new world that I am bringing into existence. I promise it will come. Follow me, and I will give you that healing and that life." I know these are simple words. We hear them so often. But when we trust them to be true, they have the greatest power in this world. May God grant you faith to believe his holy word, to trust in him, and to seek his help in all the trials and struggles that you face. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.